Now, I'm going to skittle through this because we're going to use this song to break up. We've got Heart of the Matter with us. Heart of the Matter, we've got David and Helen and Harvey, and we've got Donald. And Donald, by the way, I remember when I was, they didn't make you wear short trousers at Dalkeith High because you got kicked too much. You needed the protection of trousers. But I remember being at Dalkeith High, and Donald came to Dalkeith High and bequested a whole shedload of books. In fact, Donald, I'm sure you came from Gideon's too, didn't you? You didn't come from Gideon's. There was other guys from Gideon's, but you certainly came along with a bequest of books for the newly established Dalkeith High School Library. Friends, I'm going to say that wasn't yesterday, and Donald doesn't look actually any older. I certainly do. So it's a great privilege to have Donald with us. But David, I believe you're going to get us started, and we look forward to you sharing with us this morning. Thank you so much for joining with us from Heart of the Matter. Thank you.
Heart of the Matter, real life stories and inspiring music on 107.8 Black Diamond FM.
Well, for some of you, that is maybe new. For those of us on the team, we've heard that music for 6.5 years. And I think it's one of these things that you're thinking, do we need to change it? But the message that really comes through is that holiness begins in the heart. And the interesting thing is that the music was not chosen by a devout Christian. So it's a real joy that we have got a mixture of people who are Christians, those who are yet to become Christians, and we just love the opportunity of just sharing on Black Diamond FM. Can I first of all apologize to the guys on the team who are going to speak this morning, because we're all wearing ties. We're wearing blue shirts as well, and I'm afraid that is just one of these things that we sometimes do. I wouldn't blame our wives, but I think we are... I was encouraged to see Ben, who was out lighting the candle. He had a tie on, a black tie, and I thought, that's great. Yeah, he's sort of thinking about life and image and everything, so that is really good. So it's really good to be with you this morning. Many thanks to Mark for just the opportunity of just coming and sharing with you about something that we just absolutely love. We've just got a real passion for spreading the good news. And at this time of the year, particularly when we're thinking about Christmas and we're moving things forward, it's just great because we do have a message. And as we've been hearing in the prayers, there are many people in our community who are damaged, who are sad, who just need a little bit of hope. And those of us in the church this morning, we do have hope. And we do have a responsibility to share that hope with people that we meet from time to time. Now, we're going to be time challenged because there are four of us, and four of us are used to speaking, and I won't say who finds it hardest, but we'll rattle on. And my aim is really just to give you a bit of a background to Heart the Matter, where it came from, and Ruth is going to share a radio piece in a minute and maybe just share something of one of her interviews. Harvey is going to talk about just some development work and maybe a special person that we've interviewed. And as we mentioned before, Donald Cormack is just an absolute joy. Donald has been involved in broadcasting since, I better not say, but certainly round about the time that England won the World Cup. maybe even a little bit before then. So both radio and television, and it's just a thrill for us to be part of the team with Donald. Now, the first programmes for Heart of the Matter went out Easter 2007, and that's when Black Diamond started, and we were there right at the start. And it was really good because a guy called Colin McCall really got us into this. And as I heard from him last night, and he said he couldn't be here today because he's working on Crystal FM, which is the new radio station for Pennycook. So Pennycook is going to get its own radio station, and I'm hopeful that Heart of the Matter will be able to be on both stations. So Colin really got us into this just over 6 years ago. And I think the starting point was Colin had said to Ruth, my wife, you know, do you think you could do something about this opportunity that we've got? So Ruth sort of had a little think, panicked, I think, quite a bit. Had a wee chat to Harvey Stalker, and the great thing was that Harvey said, yeah, I think this is something we could run with. Now, it should be said, none of us have had any broadcasting experience at all. This is something totally new to us, and what we've learned is you just do it, you make your mistakes, and you try not to make the same mistakes again. You make other mistakes, but it's just great to be able to have the opportunity to do this. Now, the link with Gorebridge goes back really quite a long time. Mark was interviewed. He maybe doesn't say this to everybody, but he was interviewed in February 2008. And I'm not too sure what the child number count was at that point, but I believe it has gone up just a little bit. And really, over the years, we've kept in touch with Mark, and we've enjoyed sometimes concerts here. But more recently, we've just had the joy of being involved with Jackie and Colin. It's through a chance meeting at Motherwell. Nothing's really chance, but Colin was really enthusiastic, and really, Colin is in the studio on a Sunday morning every second Sunday. So it's just a joy that we can see things developing. And really, I want to proclaim this morning that as a team, we have just felt the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit in just a wonderful way over these 6.5 years. I said to someone yesterday that in 6.5 years, we have not had a crossword, a big disagreement, or a fallout. Now, that, I think, is just quite remarkable. And the person I was speaking to sort of raised his eyebrows and thought, is that really true? Well, it is true, and it's just a joy that we can work together because we're moving in the same direction. We want the same thing to happen. So, as I said before, none of us have had any training, but the door opened. Scottish Government, Midlothian Council said, here's an opportunity, you want to do something, and we really grabbed that as just a wonderful provision from God. Harvey and Ruth do the interviews, and usually we get Marion Dan, who is our PA. She links up the people with the person who's going to do the interview. Both of them have different styles, and we try and link them up so that the person is allowed to tell their story, because everybody has got a story. Colin has told his story more recently. If you haven't heard it, ask Colin, because he's got a copy of it, and I'm sure he would be happy for you to hear just what he said on the programme. But we've interviewed over 300 people from the ages of 11 to over 90, and it's just been an absolute joy. Now, for those who haven't heard the programme, basically what we do is we take someone's story, roughly 20 minutes, and we split it up with music. Now, the music that we choose is sometimes linked to the person who's been doing the interview. Now, I can remember Mark gave me a CD from a band that I had never heard of, and my musical sort of knowledge has expanded quite a lot. I had never heard of King's Cross, and I'm not sure how many people here have heard of King's Cross, but music is obviously an important thing in all of our lives, and sometimes it's good for us to be outside of our own sort of general knowledge and general thinking when it comes to music. So Mark sort of introduced me to King's Cross, and I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but at least I know who they are, and I listen very occasionally to them. Now, there are so many things that I could mention to you, but we broadcast on a Sunday morning between 8 and 10. We started off just doing 8 till 9, And then we had a little bit of courage to say, can we have a little bit of extra? So on a Sunday morning, we do a new program, 8 till 9, and then there's a new program. Well, the old program from the previous week goes on at 9 o'clock. So we've got 2 hours of broadcasting. And if you heard the program this morning, Colin was in the studio, and there was a problem. But it wasn't a problem for Colin, and it just went. There was a blip, and Colin managed to sort things out. So it really was, it's just really good that we've got a regular two-hour slot. Over Christmas, I was sitting with the guys a few weeks ago, and they were talking about Christmas. Who wants to do Christmas? Now, a lot of people don't want to do Christmas, and basically they said, right, Christmas is your thing, what do you want to do? So I had to sort of go away and think, right, what could we do? And yes, Christmas is our thing, and Christmas is the church's thing as well. And it's great to know that we've got the opportunity just to share something, and people will listen, particularly at Christmas time. So what we're going to do is Christmas Eve, we're going on from 11, from 10 o'clock until about 20 past 12, so over midnight into Christmas Day, and then we're going to do 9 till 11 on Christmas morning. So do tune in and pray for the programs as they go out, that people will hear something that will be meaningful for each one of them. Marian Dana, as I mentioned, is our PA, and she sends out CDs to people who are either not able to listen to the program or for any other reason. And if you felt that you wanted to be part of the mailing list, come and have a word with us or mention it to Colin, and we would see if we can get that sent out to you. But in conclusion, for my part, can I say that about 2 weeks ago, we were in a little bit of a spot. We had set up an interview for an American band called Leland. Now, for some of us here, Leland doesn't mean anything, but if you come from the States, they're quite a big band, and they come from Texas, and they were willing to be interviewed. So we had them willing to do it, and we also had Martin Smith. And those who are of an age will remember Delirious. I sometimes said Delirious, but that's not right. But Delirious, and Martin Smith was willing to be interviewed. So a couple of days before the event, both interviewers were unavailable. And I really sort of panicked just a little bit to think, am I going to have to do it myself? And I don't really like to do that. But then I thought, well, there's a young lady that I know pretty well, and I wonder if she would do the interview. And I asked her. She had never done an interview before in her life. And she said, well, if you sort out some of the questions, I'll do it. So I was really quite surprised, but quite relieved in a way. And it may be that you're here today and you're thinking radio work, whatever age you're in, whichever age bracket you're in, you might think, I might have something that I could do. Now, it might be something like just going into the studio and putting a CD on. It might be that you've got something to share. It might be that you would like to read some Bible passages. If there's something that you feel that you'd like to do, we'd be happy to involve you in it, because it's not exclusive and it's not one denomination. It's pulling everybody together. So if you felt that God was speaking to you, maybe listen and maybe act on it. So this young lady said, yes, I'll do it, and I'm going to let you listen to the end result. The program has not been broadcast. It's not going to be broadcast until the end of January, but I thought I'd just let you listen to a couple of minutes slot to hear how she did. And then after that, Ruth is going to come and share something from her side of the microphone.
So since the band was formed like 10 years ago, you've toured pretty widely. You've produced 4 studio albums and been nominated for like Grammy and Dove Awards, which is pretty impressive. How do you manage to balance like your time, you know, and all that kind of fame sort of part of it, mm-hmm. and, you know, listening to God's voice? Like, is that kind of hard?
Mm-hmm. Well, on the flight to Los Angeles, when you're going to the Grammys, you just put your headphones on and worship God the entire way, and grovel before the feet of Jesus, the King of Kings, you know, like, and then when you walk into a situation like that, it's all kind of silly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have a very awesome Texan mom who just makes sure that we don't ever get big heads, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember one time our bass player, our first bass player was Jake, who's our cousin. Our moms are sisters. And so his mom is a lot like my mom, except on a whole nother level of crazy, you know, Texan. And so he came home from our first Grammy. We all came home from our first Grammy experience going to the Grammys. And he was all excited and sort of felt like a rock star and was like, "Mom, it was amazing. We went to this awesome hotel. We went to the Grammys. It was so cool. Walked the red carpet." She's like, "Baby, that's great. Can you take out the trash and then go on top of the church? We need you to help fix the AC unit on the church." And, you know, and it's just like pouring down sleet rain, like outside's freezing cold. And so our parents have great ways of making sure we stay level-headed and keep our feet on the ground. So.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's brilliant. Well, I've just got one more question for you. If you had to take one thing home from Britain back to Texas, what would you take?
Oh, wow. Oh, from Britain, I would say, well, the Scottish shortbread is unbelievable. It's so good. And you guys have those marshmallow, chocolate-covered marshmallow things.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Those are so good.
I'm not joking. You want the last time I came here, a friend of ours who was from here gave us a whole box of those. And I ate almost the whole box. And
we'll take some of those home.
I'll probably take
Definitely.
Some of those, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks so much for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you, yeah.
That's great.
What David failed to say was that as the radio producer's daughter, you can't really say no, can you? So that was Mary Beth. I really just wanted to say to you that it's absolutely brilliant hearing other people's stories. And most people think that they don't have a story. And I suspect many of you are sitting there thinking, I just have a really ordinary life. There's nothing about my life that you would put on the radio. But you know what? God has given each one of you sitting here a story which is absolutely unique. There is no story like your story, and he's given you your story to share with other people. And that's what we do here on the radio. We allow people to share their story with Midlothian. And that's such a privilege, such an amazing privilege. And we've interviewed people from just all walks of life. And yes, indeed, people with stories that have just miraculous happenings to them, and people who have been freed from alcohol, people who have been freed from drugs, people who have gone on to do things that they would never imagine possible, people who've lived up trees, MPs who've landed up in prison and become Christians, believers in God, and it is all absolutely amazing, but it is no different from the story that you have been given by God. And I just want to encourage you that if you would like to be interviewed, then we would love to interview you, because we're really, really happy to speak to anybody who wants to speak about what God is doing in their lives and be absolutely assured he is moving in your life today, because you're on a journey. And Paul said, didn't he, in the Bible, he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And actually, I was thinking about this and thinking that that's really part of my story. That when Colin first asked me to be involved, I thought, I don't even listen to the radio, classic FM occasionally in the car. But apart from that, I know nothing. I know nothing about music, really. And I certainly know nothing about radio broadcasting. And yet, you know, with God's help, for 6.5 years, we've been doing this. And so over a period of time, you do get a bit of experience. But you're far more blessed, I think, than almost anybody who's listening. So you can do things through Christ who strengthens you in ways that you don't think is possible, but is quite amazing. And it is not about what I can't do. It's about what I can do through Christ. And so some of my interviews have been a real blessing to me. One particular blessing was that when we interviewed Jonathan Aitken, the disgraced MP who went to prison for perjury, And one of the questions that I asked him was that now he had come a long way from that, he had learned so much in his journey with God, did he not feel, therefore, that he was on a much better place than he ever had been? And he said that, no, he didn't think he was, actually. He was just as much of a sinner saved by grace than he ever had been. And what he had to be really careful of now was the devil sitting on his shoulder, just tempting him, just pushing him into places that he didn't want to go. And he had to be always aware that God was there helping him, and he had to remain humble rather than become proud at all in any way. And that was, again, quite a blessing to me. I think the other thing that we do as well is that Donald and myself and Colin get together, and another person has just joined our team called Charmaine, and at the end of the program we do a God slot, and all of us write for that, and we read out something, and then we discuss it on the radio, so there's a bit of dialogue, or sometimes it can be just a monologue, and that's really exciting, writing for the radio. And I love doing that because I love writing. It's part of my job, and it's just really good to do. And so one of the things that I do is I talk about the stories of people who are in the crowd in the Bible and write Bible narrative. And that brings the Bible alive in ways that I didn't really think was possible, but has made me look at the stories in a different way. And so I'm going to read you one of those stories, although this is not really somebody in the crowd, but because it's the first Sunday in Advent, I thought you might like to hear a Christmas story. So this is Mary's story, and it's the angel at the well. And this is what goes out. This is the kind of thing that goes out on the radio. The angel at the well. She stood at the well, a slim, dark-haired, brown-eyed slip of a girl, slowly lowering her bucket into its damp depths. The morning sun was hot on her skin, and she shaded her eyes against its glare. Her mother had got her up early that morning to say that the washing pots were empty and needed to be filled before her brothers returned from the first session of work in the fields. So she'd stumbled out of her bed, pulled on clothes, and run up the steep path to the village well, that bucket swinging awkwardly in her hand. And now she stood wondering what life would be like for her this time next year. Her parents had just finished the negotiations for her marriage. Part of her was excited, and the other part in awe of the man she was to spend the rest of her life with, a tall, honest, and earnest young man. The bucket had reached the water with a splash, and she dropped it up and down quickly with a drag to fill it to the brim. The water level sounded high today, which meant the liquid gold would be sweet, and she started to pull the bucket up the length of the well. Behind her, somebody came and stood waiting for her to finish. Her life was the pattern of an ordinary Jewish girl, and her heart welled up in thankfulness at the God who protected her from the slavery of her ancestors, giving her the joy she had today and for her future. Her bucket arrived at the low wall surrounding the well, and she took hold of both sides of the handle, ready to hoist it onto her head. Before she did so, however, the person behind her said, "Hello." She turned to reply, and realized it was a stranger. The odd thing about the stranger was his apparent knowledge of who she was, when she had never seen him before in her life. His greeting was one of recognition, and the girl searched his face for some clue as to his relationship to her family. She could find none. He was an ordinary guy who obviously couldn't sleep. She was about to offer him a cup of water when he spoke again, this time with the excitement of someone who has great news and just can't keep quiet. "You, of all women, have found a place in God's heart, and I can see he is at one with you." Mary stared at the stranger, unable to comprehend what he was saying. He looked like an ordinary person, but his words came from another world. Had her mother really got her up this morning, or was she still sleeping? She rubbed her eyes and sat on the edge of the well, her bucket forgotten at her feet. "It's okay," the stranger continued. "Don't worry, Mary. I've come to tell you that God has chosen you to have a son whom you will call Jesus." The stranger's expression danced. "He will be amazing, because he is the son of him who is the highest in heaven. Not only that, he's going to be king forever, inheriting David's throne." Mary tried to hold on to reality. I can think of a few difficulties, not least of which I know you can't have a baby unless you've known a man intimately. Somehow, all the other challenges she'd been about to name fell away. Gabriel, the angel stranger, smiled, a deep, enveloping, continuous smile that played on his face as he spoke, becoming part of his words that swept through Mary's soul. "It's all thought of, Mary. You are so at one with God that his Holy Spirit will plant within you the baby who is the Son of God. Not only you, but your elderly cousin Elizabeth is miraculously pregnant. Go and see her, and then you'll know that everything is possible through the God in whom you believe." Mary sat quite still and firmly put all questions out of her head. She felt amazed, lightheaded, yet peaceful to the core of her being. "I am chosen," she thought. "Chosen to be obedient to whatever God has planned for me." She closed her eyes and murmured, "May it be to me as you have said." And when she opened her eyes, Gabriel had gone. Mary stood up, picked up her bucket, and walked away. What would her mother say? More importantly, what was Joseph going to do? And I think that encapsulates my story a little bit, that I didn't know what it was I was going to do when God asked me to be a part of the radio, but I did say yes. And today, about 340 testimonies from people like yourselves have gone out across Midlothian, and people have heard the words of Jesus Christ in their soul, not only Midlothian, but also the world, because people listen on the web. And she was obedient. What she said was, "May it be to me as you have said, so may it be to you as God is speaking to you this morning."
The most important person in every one of the programs is the guest. And an important thing for those of us who take part is to get ourselves out of the way and let the guest talk about what is the heart of the matter for them. There is a place in northern India called Darjeeling. Now, Darjeeling is famous for tea. Those who know these things say that Darjeeling is the Rolls Royce of teas. And almost 70 years ago, there was a boy who was born in Darjeeling, and his name is Birendra Rongon, known to his friends as Bren. Now, Bren came and spoke with us on the radio to share what was the heart of the matter with him. Darjeeling is on the borders of Nepal, Himalaya Mountains. The foothills of the Himalayas are 7,000 feet high. Ben Nevis wouldn't register. And he said as a little boy, sometimes early in the morning, he'd stand and see the sun rise. And the sky would turn from dark blue to a lighter blue. And these snow-covered mountains, you can imagine, they gradually turned golden and then red, and then the morning was there. Wonderful sight, never to be forgotten. Now, when Bren was about 13 years of age, he was out one day in the bright light of northern India when something came down over his eyes. And he gave his head a shake and blinked his eyes and it went away, and he was back to normal. And just a few minutes later, it came down again, and it's still down today. He became blind at the age of 13, and the retina in both eyes became detached, and in spite of efforts by ever so many people, surgeons and doctors, he's blind today. So he had to give up the school that he was in and go to the blind school. Can you imagine? At 13 years of age, it wasn't a proper curriculum. He was in trouble. And yet when he was in the blind school, he and another boy together discovered the light that shines from beyond the sun, the light that Advent is about, the coming of the Son of God into our world to take the penalty and pay the price of our sins and give us a new life. And Bren became a Christian. Now, in the blind school, he was obviously a clever lad. He had quick fingers, and he learned to type on an old Remington typewriter that produced Braille printout. Can you imagine that? He pressed the keys, couldn't see a thing, of course. Pressed the keys, and out came Braille. And one day, they had a visitor to the school, an Indian man of some distinction. And he watched what Bren was doing with great interest, asked one or two questions, and went away. The man was Pandit Nehru. Maybe you've heard of him. He was the Prime Minister of India. And there was a younger woman with him, and she was Indira Gandhi, who also became the Prime Minister of India. Now, to cut a long story short, through the influence of that man, Bren was given a scholarship to a music school in Calcutta, hundreds of miles from Kalimpong in northern India. And he went to the music school to learn to play the sitar, not the guitar, but the sitar, an Indian instrument that's very twangy and very, very difficult to play. A blind fellow in a college full of sighted students. Honours degree. Amazing. He went back north and taught in this blind school where he had been, and he taught, think about this, as a blind man, he taught mathematics to blind pupils. How would you manage to solve a quadratic equation if you'd never seen anything, or your teacher hadn't seen anything since he was 13? Quite astonishing. And it's a wonderful story that he shared with us. Now, he and his wife and their grandparents now live in Edinburgh today. That's where they are this morning. And he said to us, and I say to you, that one of the things from the Bible that has guided his life right until now is this verse from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. I think who's speaking of this? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And from a boy of 13, giving his boyish heart, his boyish understanding, in faith to Christ, he's had the most marvelous life, and I've only told you a part of it. He works today among the Gurkhas. He works today broadcasting in Nepali, all over the world with the Far Eastern Broadcasting Association. And he goes around Edinburgh District playing his sitar. If you ever get the opportunity to meet Bren Rongong with his sitar, you grab it with both hands. A young fellow who's come all of the way from Darjeeling to Edinburgh, walking in the way of the Lord, trusting, remembering, praying, following. That was the heart of the matter for him. And we need to have something like that as the heart of the matter in our lives too.
This is the first Sunday in Advent, and it's good to be with you all on this morning. And I'd like to read the first chapter, or part of the first chapter, of the Gospel of St. John. If you want to follow it, you can, or you can just listen. Each is perfectly acceptable. And so John writes in John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen. God will bless the reading and hearing of his word. Radio takes you into a person's home, and it also takes you into a person's life, and even into a person's soul. They say that radio is better than TV because the pictures are better. And I think that's very true. You hear something and you have a picture immediately in your mind as to what's going on. And so our program, The Heart of the Matter, using radio waves, aims to penetrate not just into the homes of our listeners, but into their very souls. We draw our pictures from God's Word. And I want to take a phrase three times from different parts of the Bible. The first one is the first appearance of the phrase is right at the very start of the Bible, and the three words are "in the beginning." In the beginning. They bring a lesson to us, and they bring a challenge to us as we think about this. In the beginning, says Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The heavens and the earth did not materialize magically from nothing, as many scientists would have us believe, and then evolve into our complex and beautiful world. It was God who did it. Professor MacLeod wrote these following words, which struck me very forcibly when I first read them, and so I want to read them to you now. The impression has got abroad not only that the Christian doctrine of the creation has been disproved, but that scholars have agreed on an alternative. Neither of these assumptions is correct. There is no agreed alternative to the Christian position. Those which are affirmed are beset with enormous difficulties. The first chapter of Genesis tells us that there was no sun. It was created on the fourth day. And so the light that it speaks of
God said, let there be light, and there was light. The light that it speaks of is a divine light. It is not sunlight. The question then is, what or who is that light? So with that background, let me take the second occurrence that I want to bring to you. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we read this. God says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. Here, God reveals that the executant of creation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Planet Earth is the first earth. God doesn't intend that it should remain forever. He says, you will roll them out like a robe, like a garment they were changed. They will perish, but you remain. And so God does not intend that this world that we live in, which seems so solid and so wonderful at times, is going to last forever. It's not. It's going to end. And his magnificent plan, in other words, is for those of us that are on this first earth to find out the reason why we're here and to come to know God. John writes again in Revelation, he said this, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. He who was seated, for the old order of things has passed away, he was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You and I are here on this temporary planet. We're only here for a short time. You know, sometimes if you talk to old people, they're talking about things that happened 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago, even 100 years ago, some of them. And as you talk to people like that, you realize that time is very, very meaningless. It just is the whiz past, and it's gone. And so the question for believers is this, that we're only here on a temporary planet for a temporary time. We're not here forever and ever. And God has sent light into the world. And so I want to turn to the third occurrence, which says, in the beginning, because it clears up the question of the light in Genesis chapter 1. And it shows us God's plan for each of us. And this links us up with Christmas, that first Christmas. In the beginning, says John, as we've just read, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. That is a definite, clear statement. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. It may be that you have come into this church this morning because it's getting near Christmas. Perhaps you have friends here or you just like coming. But you've never really understood what the message really is. It's been darkness as far as you're concerned. And yet God says, listen, there is light. Not just the light of the sun, which we're glad to see, but a divine light. And Jesus is revealed as that light. The light in Genesis was emanating from Jesus. Because Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Christmas celebrates the coming of Jesus into our dark world, and he is the light shining in the dark world. In him, Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him, says John. And that may be true for some people here, and it certainly will be true for the many Gorebridge people and Temple people and other people across our dear land. They've not understood. They're still in darkness. You know, I saw a statistic just the other day. The current figure for church attendance in Scotland is 3%. So that means that 97% of our fellow citizens are not in church this morning. That's a huge task. Did you ever hear the story of the shoe salesman who was sent to a foreign country in Africa to sell shoes? And when he got there, he stayed for a week or two, and then he wired back to his firm, and he said, I'm coming home. There is no place for our product in this country because people don't wear shoes. And he came home. However, the business wasn't persuaded of that, and they sent another man out. And after a week or two, he also got in touch with them, and he wrote, great opportunities here. Nobody is wearing shoes yet. So it's all a question of how you look at it. And so we've got 97% people to reach. Heart of the Matter tries to reach those in Midlothian and maybe a little bit further afield. But we've got a great task, and maybe the task can start this morning in someone's heart. Maybe you've always been in the darkness. Things have just not been too clear for you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has come into the world. We've got one candle lit, and in a little while they'll be all lit, and Christmas will be here, and then Christmas will be over. And a new year will have started very shortly. So I want to challenge you this morning. Have you come to the light of the world yet? If you have, praise God. But if not, maybe today, this morning, this very moment, even as I'm speaking, you can lift your heart to God and you can say, God, I have never accepted your wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things. And he will open your eyes as you come to him in repentance and faith. So trust Jesus this morning, the light of the world. Thank you very much. We'll hand back to our...
Thank you, Donald. Thank you so much. And thank you to David, and thank you to Helen, thank you to Harvey for sharing. And just some more. I couldn't rustle up a blue shirt and a red tie, but we did get a blue and red guitar. That's about... And Harvey, Barendra is just wonderful. I got the chance to play sitar once, and just an incredible man. And it's nice to know he's still in the area. We must have him come out and share his testimony one Sunday. Incredible. So, now you know, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, you can have Black Diamond Radio on and hear the great work that these people are doing. And if you have anything that you can do in terms of helping or sharing, they would love to hear from you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Could I ask the band to come up as we pray? Father, we pray for your blessing upon David and Helen and Harvey, on Donald and the rest of the team. We thank you for their heart to share what you are doing in people's lives, and that that's making its way right into this place where you've planted us. Father, may we be four square behind them. And Lord, we ask you to provide all the resourcing that they need, all the courage, the fortitude, the compassion, the inspiration, and the resources, so that they are able to reach into homes that otherwise perhaps would be closed to us. Father, we want to thank you for everybody who's heard the good news of Jesus Christ through the work these people do, and we pray that that would multiply even, Lord, as you ready us, as you prepare us for renewal, and as you ready for us to reach that 97%. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.